In fact, I had lost all sense of time, hence my feelings of having been here for so long. It hadn't been all that long, of course. I felt the deepest sense of contentment, a feeling quite unbound by space or time. The world I was now living in seemed to me infinite in its size and its beauty. Where you are standing now, he himself once stood, I was told. They meant the king of the spiritual world. There is nothing he has not seen or experienced. He is familiar with every aspect of life here. Everything you can see with your eyes, he has seen with his eyes, too. These words made me so happy, I felt I had to ask, when will I be allowed to see him? It will not be that long, my teacher told me. Will it be possible for me to give him my hand? I wanted to know. Will I be able to kneel down in front of him? Will I be allowed to thank him for all that he has done for us, for the whole of humanity? Will I be able to do that? I will see to it that you will, my guardian angel answered. Could my happiness have been any greater? No, indeed not. And so, we had returned to the covered area of the garden, and our carriage had already left. My teacher and my guardian angel stayed with me to show me the house, and after that, I was told, I would be free to begin my spiritual work. The house was not all that big, but to me it was like a small castle. It was so beautiful I discovered I was not going to be living there on my own but would be sharing it with a number of other well-favored brothers and sisters. We each had our own set of rooms, which gave us our own personal space, but we didn't live in any way cut off from one another and we made a point of coming together to discuss things as a group. And so I was taken to the house. What things there were there! How I marveled at it all, eyes beyond words. My guardian angel then said to me, this blissful place will be your home. You will be able to live very contentedly here and these brothers and sisters will be living here with you. You will all be of support to one another and you will all do what you can to add to one another's contentment and joy. You will help to make one another's happiness more complete. These were wonderful words to hear. Then I began to remember my family. I felt I must think about my husband, my son, and all who were still in the earthly world. What will happen to those who age still living on earth? I asked myself. Where can my other relatives and friends be? Where is my husband? Where is my son? After all, they couldn't possibly be here, in this part of the spiritual world. They didn't believe in God or the king of the spiritual world. They must be living some way away, I decided. Not in these blissful parts at all. My teacher and my guardian angel remained a long time with me. When I say a long time, I mean I felt as if it was a long time. But I really had no sense of time now, not like you have on earth. You may go to see your family if you wish, they both told me. We can go together. My first thought was, goodness, what a joy this is going to be, but then I suddenly felt myself overcome by feelings of despair. What will they say when they see me looking as I do now? What will they think? Asked myself despondently. My husband, who was such a bad-tempered fellow, so quick to get angry, will he be like that here, too? My son, who refused to have anything to do with religion, who was 20 determinedly indifferent to everything - what will he have to say to me? Don't worry. Don't worry. My teacher said to me. Indeed, I very much wanted not to worry. But a wave of sadness came over me again. I was to enjoy a life of great happiness while at the same time separated by a great distance from all my family. Hadn't I after all lived my whole life for them? Hadn't I made all those sacrifices for them? And now my world of bliss was to be far removed from where they were. My guardian angel, picking up my thoughts, said to me, wait a while. You will have plenty of opportunities to give them your support. You will already be supporting one another here, giving each other your help. It is true that your husband and your son won't be able to share this good fortune with you, but in due course you will be able to ease their burdens. Before we go to them, however, the great meeting must take place. The great meeting, how I looked forward to it. Just the thought of it took all my fear and sorrow away. I wanted to continue to put all my hope in Christ. I had decided I would kneel down before our Lord and ask him to show mercy towards my husband, to release his from at least some of his guilt and my son as well. I wanted to entreat him to do this. At least, this was what I had planned. A feast was to be arranged which was intended also to remind those in the beyond of Christ's life on earth, and at which our Lord wished to meet his faithful followers. We set off in order to assemble at a specially chosen place. Christ was to arrive, and speak to us there. The time for this came, and we made sure we all looked as nice as possible. We duly went to the appointed place to see and hear him. When we arrived, he was already there, surrounded by a large number of divine spirits whom I took to be his guards. They were magnificently dressed in glittering robes, but their expressions looked a good deal less friendly than, for example, that of my guardian angel. Majestic, commanding respect, they had something about them one could well have found quite frightening. My guardian angel told me, they are the divine guard. Yes, indeed, they are God's own guard. Their bearing was, however, perfectly peaceful, and they carried no weapons. They commanded respect purely by their presence, tail-high and broad-shouldered as they were. They were also dressed quite differently from us. I will tell you more about these things later, said my teacher. For now let it be enough for you to know that this is God's own guard. I was quite happy just to be told that. I was busy enough simply admiring everything I could see. And then I caught sight of the huge crowd of brothers and sisters that had now gathered, every one of them wanting to see him and speak to him. I can't imagine they will all be able to speak to him, I said to myself. No, that can't be possible. The guard will make sure of that. Then suddenly I began to feel very unsure of myself, and I reflected, oh well, it will be enough if I just kneel down and ask him, forgive me, and forgive all who have caused you pain, and forgive us all our sins. Forgive my husband, and my son, and all my children for not knowing how to believe. It won't be possible for you to step forward now, my teacher said to me. But you will be able to stretch out your hands to him. You will certainly have a chance to do that. When? There is no hurry. Bliss always awaits us. There is no today and no tomorrow for us. We live in eternal bliss, though there is always a future for us. You have looked forward to this meeting, and you will equally look forward to the next, and that, too, will be another great occasion. We were all utterly filled with joy. At first we were quite unable to speak. Everything was so quiet, we were all caught up in feelings of sheer astonishment. We felt compelled to drink in all this beauty with our eyes. We did not utter a word, overwhelmed by the beauty of our Lord and the divine splendor he brought with him. Suddenly the silence was broken. The guards began to cheer, and we all joined in, and amid all this cheering the divine guard, together with Christ their King, made the way through the crowd and then disappeared into the distance. No one who experiences these glories for the first time can fail to be touched to the depths of his soul. It is a sight that remains with one for a very long time, a truly unforgettable experience. Wherever one goes, this picture appears before one's eyes, again and again. Then I suddenly understood what my teacher told me: we have no past, we have no future, and yet we do have the future. It is an experience of such a lasting quality that one is left feeling one can relive it forever. When I tell you these things now, it is hardly possible for you to grasp them, but you will experience them one day for yourselves, just as I experienced them myself. That was my first meeting with Christ. The blissfulness of this experience was not to hinder me from beginning my work, however. I still wished to go to my husband and my son. With my two companions I went to see them. They were not together, but not that far apart. They reacted with astonishment and could only say, "Oh mother." Their responses were a confusion of surprise, emotion and grief, and they were unable to say anything more. I thought my husband could well have reacted with anger, out of much the same character as before. But he seemed to have lost a good deal of his former roughness, either of his own choosing or because he had been made to do so. All I could see now was how much he was suffering, and the same was true of my son, Both of them were in a pitiful state and terribly distressed. I, too, was unable to speak, and so my two friends eventually took me by the arm and led me away. I thus returned to my world of bliss. But I talked to my teacher and told him that I still wanted to help my husband and my son. "It is good that you want to do that," he told me. "We will certainly go back and see them again, and you will also be able to visit them on your own." Then he continued, "They have to remain in their present sorry state until they have atoned for a certain measure of the wrong they have done. But during that time you will be allowed to ease their suffering with your visits. They will both look forward to these visits, their hope and trust will increase as they realize that this time of release will eventually come, and they will become stronger and more able to endure the difficulties they face now. And for that reason it is important for you to talk to them about the liberation that awaits them." And so I often went to visit them and was able to help them forward, step by step. Later on, my other children arrived in the spirit world, and it was up to me to give them support and intercede for them, and I was successful in easing their suffering, too. In this way I have extended my duties. I was required to leave a world of bliss and descend among the souls in distress, to bring them relief. I was not alone in this work, many, many other spirits work alongside me. Help comes from all parts of the heavenly world, and the suffering are given the support they need. This is to remain my work for some time to come. And soul carry out my work, and my teacher stands beside me. For a long time I remained ignorant of a great many things, particularly where spiritual law was concerned. At first I was not really interested in why such and such was the case. The main thing for me was the experience of bliss, being at home with God and with Christ. That meant everything to me. But my teacher explained, "You have to be able to share your happiness and good fortune with others, you have to help those who have less. As soon as souls become strong in a spiritual sense, they have an obligation to give some of their strength to those weaker than themselves. We have brought you our comfort, now it is time for you to offer your comfort and support to these brothers and sisters of yours who are less well off. You should do what we have done for you, certainly within the limits of what you are able to do." I received regular instruction of this kind, and my teacher would always explain to me what my given tasks were to be. This is what I have wanted to tell you. Divine spirits descend to help and to serve, to lead those souls in greatest distress towards the world of bliss, just as Christ had to leave his kingdom to enable the people of earth to return to the world of bliss. As it is his wish to raise up those who follow him, his followers, those who have placed themselves in his service, do likewise, each ready to do his bidding and to proclaim his word and his will. And so I return now to my world of bliss. I did not come alone but with others, and I leave you with God's blessing. Through what I have told you, I have been able to raise the atmosphere among you, and lend you a little support so that one day you also may have the experiences I have had underscore. And so, I say farewell in the name of all the holy spirits of heaven. God bless you. Address by the Ascending Spirit Amesha, received on 5 May 1965 in German through Beatrice Bjarnert, Epilogue. The 12 reports published in this book are only a small selection of the more than 2,400 lectures that have been transmitted by the Swiss deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner. These lectures have been published continuously since 1948 in Geistige Welt, the oldest journal in the German-speaking world for Christian spirit teaching and otherworldly knowledge, and also in its English counterpart The Spiritual World, More, since 1965, which is published 6 times a year as an e-journal by the Swiss Association GL Zurich. www.glzh.ch, the publisher. This ebook only cost $1.